Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's done. The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights!
History,
win!
We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
Yeah, I am ready for rapid fire. I will get rid of the screen that I was about to share.
Woo. Oh, do you have something you wanted to throw up there?
Well, you had talked about the one undrafted free agent.
Well, and we're going to lead off with
okay.
that. You actually You can have that ready to go. Because we talked about the guys who did get drafted in the main segment. Now,
gotcha.
We're going to start off with the most significant Notre Dame guy who did not get drafted, Sam Hartman. And I saw this question posed on our Champions Lounge.
Good question. It's a great question.
Week. Do you think Sam Hartman hurt his draft stock with his play at Notre Dame? This is a question from someone on our Champions Lounge. He said, had Sam entered the draft last year, I believe he'd have been a fifth or sixth round draft choice. For him, it was still a great decision to come to Notre Dame. Cash in his pocket via NIL and name recognition. But was it a good draft decision? So what do you think about that, Vince?
I think that's a great, great question. And I had to sit and think about it for a second. And here's what I came up with. I think he's at the poster is absolutely correct that he probably would have been a fifth or a sixth round pick because he was a stat totaler, right? I mean, he had success in a gimmicky offense, but he had success in it. Right. There wasn't a lot of negative things to say about him from a scheme standpoint. I mean, it's not his fault. He wasn't in a pro style offense. So there was no bad film of him in a pro style offense. It was him all the time in the gimmicky offense. Now, you can make judgment calls about his arm strength and things like that. And that's fine and all true. But I think coming to Notre Dame, while positive for him off the field, on the field, now he's got negative tape in a pro-style offense. And I think it highlighted some of the things he doesn't do great. And it probably did knock him out of being drafted. Now, at the same time, he got one hell of a deal from the Commanders as an undrafted free agent, which a lot of those guys don't get. And for whatever reason, they obviously believe in him and they were happy with him as an undrafted free agent, signed him to a great deal. But I think he prevented himself from getting drafted because of the way he played and because of, you know, putting some of that negative film on, you know, negative play on film. And now all the scouts had that, you know, they could have speculated before. Now there's no speculation. It's facts.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Go ahead and grab that screenshot and I'm going to throw it up here. Because this is another guy who showed up at Notre Dame's pro day. His name is Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes.
Who is the offensive coordinator with the Washington Commanders, hired by Dan Quinn after Quinn got the job. And this is at the end of Notre Dame's pro day. This photo that I took up here on the screen. It is Sam Hartman chatting with Cliff Kingsbury. And now, look, there was an Eagles coach who went over and was, you know, chatting with Audric Estime after Estime's workout and stuff like that. So just because you talk with a guy doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I did find it interesting that, you know, again, I think Kingsbury was the only NFL offensive coordinator at this pro day as well. And the fact that he spent a few minutes talking with Sam Hartman at the end, and then, you know, that pretty good free agent contract that Sam Hartman ended up with. And, you know, like we were saying a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, when we were predicting where these guys might end up, Sam Hartman was actually in a pretty good situation, I think, that he didn't get drafted he got a $20,000 signing bonus and a $225,000 base guarantee from the Washington Commanders. So it definitely does seem like Cliff Kingsbury, maybe kind of a la what, you know, Mike Zimmer, when we were talking about Maris Leofau, there's something that Cliff Kingsbury sees in Sam Hartman that he thinks would be a good fit for him. And that's, you know, that's what happens with some of these free agents, is when you don't get drafted, you actually have a say in where you go. And the situation is pretty good. And they, you know, they signed up Sam Hartman pretty quickly. I understand what you're saying. Like, he put some deficiencies on tape. I still think he had some deficiencies when he was at Wake Forest as well. And, like, you know, the question about, did he hurt him? Like, I don't know. He at least showed that he could play in a pro style system. I don't know that he was really going to benefit that much, you know, coming, like, you could say that he was rated as a fifth or sixth round guy last year, but 14 quarterbacks were drafted in last year's draft. 11 quarterbacks were drafted this year. And Max Duggan, the TCU quarterback, went in the seventh round last year. So that's a guy who played in the national championship game and still went in the seventh round last year. And, you know, like, this year, of the 11 quarterbacks drafted, five went in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. So I think once you start to get into those later rounds, it's kind of a crapshoot, you know, and it's a matter of, you know, does this team, you know, specifically, you know, have an eye for this guy and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I still think that Sam Hartman at least helped himself a little bit by getting out of that slow mesh offense. And, you know, like, just the fact that he played against USC, like, how much did that help him? You know, like, the fact that Cliff Kingsbury probably saw him on film and saw him in person in that Notre Dame USC game. I don't know. I said all along, I think that when you're kind of at the level that Sam Hartman is at, and you have a question, you know, of the arm, and you've played in that gimmicky system for 5 years to begin with, I just felt like it was, you know, going to be 50-50 on whether or not he was going to get drafted. And I think it would have been that way. You know, like, you know, again, 14 quarterbacks got drafted last year. So I don't think that Sam Hartman, by coming out last year, was necessarily going to help himself that much when you look at the number of quarterbacks who were taken last year.
I think he would, given all of the evidence that we have, I still think he chooses to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, and he gave himself, you know, and I think that on top of the chance to play in the system, and, you know, the person on the Champions League did mention this, the NIL factor, he gave himself a nice insurance policy, basically, by coming to Notre Dame, because he had to have made over $1 million in NIL, right? With all the different deals.
I would think so.
At least a half a million.
Yeah.
At least a half a million. Like, I would think that he made more than $1 million with all the different stuff that he had. So if that's the case, you know, like, you set yourself up with a nice little nest egg just right there, and you put yourself in a pretty good position so that even if you didn't make an NFL team this year, you were going to have a pretty good financial.
Oh yeah.
You know,
you invest that correctly, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying he can retire, but I am saying he's going to be in great shape moving forward. If you invest, you know, you get somebody who knows what they're doing, you know, as far as investments are concerned and all that stuff. Like, he would choose to go to Notre Dame 10 times out of 10, I would think, regardless of the outcome, the win-loss record, you know, all of it, because of what happened off the field.
Like, I think that the free agent deal that he got this year with Washington, with that kind of guaranteed money, I don't think he was going to get that if he goes undrafted last year.
That I agree with.
And then when you add on top of it, what he got in NIL from Notre Dame this year, he obviously was not going to get that from Wake Forest. You know, he would have probably got something from Wake Forest, but I think that he probably got, he probably got 10 times at Notre Dame what he was going to get in NIL opportunities if he had stayed at Wake Forest. So I think the whole thing adds up to a pretty good situation. And the fact that they gave him that much guaranteed money, probably, you know, it means that he's going to be around for at least a year, if not a couple of years.
Potentially. Oh, I think he's going to be a backup for a good long time. And I honestly, I think he could be the number two in Washington. Marcus Mariota is nothing special, folks. I don't know. I mean, I think May's probably going to start.
Marcus Mariota's on his way out at this point. All he gives them is some experience.
Right. Like
he
gives a veteran presence.
He's a veteran to help the young rookie come along. And I'm sure that that's probably why they signed him. And Sam Hartman will, you know, most likely start off as the practice squad quarterback. And if things work out the way they plan, Mariota will probably be gone next year. And Sam Hartman will be the number two by next year.
Absolutely. And that's a great spot to be in.
Right.
Clipboard holder in the NFL you're making a lot of money doing that, folks.
Yep. Andre says, what would he have looked like if he was under Tommy Reese's play calling? That's a good question to ask.
I mean, Andre, and this is nothing against you, my man. This is not a great question to ask because he would have looked exactly the same as he did before. I mean, the play calling wasn't a whole lot different under Jared Parker as it was for Tommy Reese. It was the same offense. So I don't think it would have looked a whole lot different. He still wouldn't have been able to read the defense as he wasn't able to read. I don't think it would have changed anything.
Yep. NH says, I think the Indy thing helps out more with his ambitions post-football. I mean, he set himself up with a great network of, you know, like that Notre Dame. Like, look how close he and Marcus Freeman are. Like,
you could
easily see Sam Hartman coming back and being on Marcus Freeman's staff at some point in the future, just based on the relationship that they had this year. I mean, they were hanging out at basketball games together.
It's true.
You know?
Good point.
DK says, come on, Sean. Do you know how much hair like that costs to maintain? Maybe not. I know this will come as a shock to you. But
he's coming
like,
at you.
When I was Sam Hartman's age, I didn't have the beard, but I actually did have like a full head of hair. Like when I let it grow out, it didn't flow exactly like Sam Hartman's. But it was kind of a mop up there. Actually, there was a time that even people who have hair like this had hair, believe it or not.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Vince, so this is a question I've seen pop up a few times in the last week. Is Fighting Irish linebacker Kingston Viliamu-Asa more like Manti Te'o or Jalen Smith?
Well, it's a really good question. I think he's probably a little bit more like Manti from an in-the-box standpoint. You know, Jalen wasn't asked to play in the box per se. He was kind of a will, you know, kind of did some other things. Now, I do think that KVA is a little bit more athletic than Manti was. Manti had great instincts, and it appears that KVA does as well. I just think Jalen was just an athletic freak, and I don't think KVA is that. And so he probably falls someplace in between, which is a great place to end up.
This is like, you know,
closer to Manti.
Like, one, they were two great linebackers.
Right.
So, like, it's a good place to start if, you know, like, if you're comparing him, you know, right away. Like, Jalen did walk in the door and start right away as a linebacker, which to me is a pretty big accomplishment right off the bat. And we haven't seen a guy at Notre Dame come in and do that. I don't know that, again, like, as we've talked about before, I don't know that Kingston is going to be starting right away, but I think he's going to play a lot this year.
Sure.
But you always get that question, like, if you could combine this guy with this guy, you'd have the perfect player. And I do think that Kingston is a little bit of a hybrid of the two, because he is, you know, a little, he's like, Manti was like the ultimate old school, you know, like Mike linebacker, like the Mike Singletary mode, you know, like that kind of guy, like box, you know, plug the middle, C-gap to C-gap kind of guy. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, what, like, Jalen Smith never got to use, like, where they played him at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He never got to fulfill his true potential.
Yeah. He wasn't coached. It was a bad scheme. I mean, right. There was so much bad there. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, like Mike says, not sure KVA has Jalen speed. No, but he has more lateral range than Manti had. And he also has better pass coverage skills than Manti had. Like his ability, like we saw it, I think it was, I can't remember if it was the scrimmage or the Blue Gold game.
It was the Blue Gold game where he dropped like 20 yards back. And
exactly. Like Manti didn't have that. You know, like,
no,
that is not something that Manti had. So that was my point. Like, he doesn't have Jalen's true speed and, you know, lateral ability when he was at Notre Dame, but he at least has, you know, a different gear to go to and a different range to go to than Manti had. So, you know, like I said, he's somewhere in between. You know, if I had to say, is he more like one than the other? I would say more like Manti than Jalen, just because Jalen was just such an athletic freak, basically, that he doesn't have that.
Right.
But to me, he's somewhere in between, and that's still a very good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely see traits from one to the other. Here's the other thing, though. I do want to see him play some Notre Dame games before I start completely comparing him to those two. I mean, those two are two of the all-time greats at linebacker at Notre Dame. Like, two of the best to ever play the position. KVA is a really good player, no doubt about it. But let's give him some time. Just a little bit of time. Let's see what he can do.
Yes. Yes. So, Vince, the Bears' season over-under total is set at 8.5 wins after
really?
The draft. 8.5.
Yeah.
Over-under. What are you taking?
Taking the under because of your next question.
So you want to hold on? I like that. I like that you're teasing the next question.
Yes, I am.
I mean, They don't have an overly difficult schedule. They will play the 49ers. You know, they're playing the NFC North. They're playing the NFC West. They do have two playoff teams in their division, though, you know, with the Lions and the Packers. So, you know, that's going to be tough right away.
Sure.
You are breaking in a rookie quarterback, no matter how good he is. I've got to say.
The Vikings have J.J. McCarthy. So, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, they're going to lose at least six games right there to the NFC North.
And look, I'm not sold on Matt Eberflus as a head coach.
That's fair.
This is a make or break season.
Oh, yeah.
For him. And like, if it doesn't work out this year, then all of a sudden you're also, you know, as much as people wanted to be excited about Ryan Poles, you've got to start looking at Ryan Poles and some of his judgment. And I realize the ownership has a hand in that as well, but I'm not completely sold on Eberflus. So I am taking the under. Andre is in. He's saying over and the playoffs. So you're saying at least 9 wins and the playoffs.
They're going to be better than the Lions and the Packers.
Yeah, both? I think that's a little bit of a stretch, unless 3 teams from the division are making it.
And that's
it's a lot to
tough.
Put on a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that's tough based on who, you know, the fact that they're playing the NFC West and there's playoff team. I mean, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, Mike says he's got the Bears 10-7. Okay. All right, so my next question, fill in the blank. The Bears drafting Iowa punter Torrey Taylor in the 4th round is blank.
That it's indicative that the front office also thinks that the under is happening because the offense isn't going to be able to move the ball and they're going to be punting a lot.
Let's get a guy who's got a big leg who can get us out of these situations.
Look, I actually sat down and we all know what Iowa is, right? We've talked about it a million times and they're the punchline of every offensive collegiate, you know, joke that you can come up with. That means he punted a lot, right? And there's literally highlights of him out there that I sat down and I watched, and he's a very, very talented punter. Would I have used a 4th round draft pick on him? No. Was he going to get drafted? Probably, yes. Probably not in the 4th round. But you must think you're going to be punting a hell of a lot to waste that kind of a pick on the punter. So that's where I'm at with that whole thing.
I want to see. Hang on just a sec. Let's see. I want to see how many punters.
There was a lot of place kickers taken.
Him. He was the only punter.
The only one. Yeah.
Only punter. Selected.
Look, I'm the biggest advocate for specialists out there
right
now, right? And they took him way too high.
And see, and that's the thing. Not only did they take him high, that at the time, now they ended up making a trade of a future pick to get a 5th round pick. But at the time they drafted him in the 4th round, that was the last pick they had in the draft.
This is true.
And that 5th round pick that they got ended up being their last pick. And I guess you don't know if you're going to get that, but I would have probably worked a little bit harder to try to get like that 5th or 6th round pick and use that on the punter, because as much, you know, it's like their only other picks that they got were Williams and Adunze in the 1st round. They got the tackle from Yale.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. A tackle from Yale was their other pick. And they were basically talking about like, look, this is a big guy, this Yale tackle, but like, who's he going up against? He hasn't really been challenged against any, you know, so it's like there's still a lot to find out about him. And then you use a 4th round pick on a punter. Now, the punter did set an FBS record with a 48.2 yard average last year, so he's got a big leg. But like you said, it's like if you're making that kind of investment in the punter with a 4th round pick, sure seems like you're saying you don't think your offense is going to be very good this year.
Just saying. Somebody said they drafted
after
a punter last year.
You just drafted those two guys at the top.
Somebody said they drafted a punter last year. Is this something you can look up accurately, or is that going to be tough? It's okay if you can't.
I think I can probably find out relatively quickly. Hang on.
Because if that's the case, if they've drafted a punter 2 years in a row, that's ridiculous. Like, and I have no problem taking a specialist, like a late round flyer or something like that. You know, a kid that you think is good. Okay, fine. No problem. It's easier to do that than maybe do some research on a position player. But man, fourth rounder? Like, it's not Sebastian Janikowski, all right? Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see. I'm trying to – unfortunately, this database that I have, like, it's got all the picks. It doesn't let me sort.
Ah.
Like, for last year. Like, they're, right. Like, this year's is still sortable, but I think once it goes into the archive, like, I'd, you know, have to kind of dig around and stuff like that. So I can't say for sure if they took one last year, but fourth round pick on a punter is pretty high.
Okay. So, hold on. Here we go. Here it
DK
is.
DK is saying they took one in the fourth round last
year. They certainly year. Did. Wow. They did. And wow. From, no, that was this year. Okay. I'm sorry. That was 24. Why does it give me 24? I asked for 23. Come on, man. Brutal. All right. Anyway.
So, Vince says, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Caleb Williams, you really think this offense will not be good? You seriously believe that? One, I don't think Odunze is going to be that big a factor this year because of Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. That's why, you know, like, okay, that pick might look good next year or the year after, but I don't think you're going to get that much out of Odunze this year. And you do have a rookie quarterback. And are you really gonna, like, you know, like, CJ Stroud is the exception. He's far from the rule, you know, having the kind of year that he had last year as a rookie with Houston. Like, if you're going in with high expectations of a rookie quarterback with a team that hasn't won in forever, you could be setting yourself up, you know, for some sleepless nights and and long bouts with adult beverages, man. You know, if you're someone who partakes. So I would not be expecting a whole lot.
I'm not expecting a whole lot.
I know you're not, but nope. If I was a Bears fan, like my daughter, you know, cause she is a Bears fan and she asked me today, like how many games I think they'll win. And I said, 6 or 7. And she was kind of quiet after that.
Yeah.
You know, so look, if they get to 7 wins this year, I would actually be pretty excited as a Bears fan.
I mean, you're putting in a new offense, you're putting it with a new quarterback, and all.
You still don't have an offensive line.
And that's exactly. Why. That's something they did not address, by the way. Yeah. So,
what do you mean? We have a tackle from Yale, Vince.
Yeah, we do. At least we know that he's going to be better at calculus than everybody else, but that's about it.
Mm hmm. Okay, so the executive who's in charge of ESPN's NFL draft coverage says he would like to split the first round into 2 nights rather than 1 night of coverage. So like Thursday night, you'd have the first 16 picks, and then Friday night, you'd have the next 16 picks. Buy or sell the idea?
Huge sell for me. If you want, you know, he's obviously trying to milk, because he's an TV exec, he's trying to milk it for more than it's worth, right? Look. There are problems with the televised version of the draft. You need to shorten it. You don't need to split it up into 2 days and make it even longer.
I know.
I mean, that no. You need to shorten it. Especially in the first round. Okay. I feel like they've got it backwards, if I'm being honest, Sean. You should get more time at the back end of the draft because you're really sifted through the weeds trying to figure out who to draft. The first round, man, there should be no... That should not be
a lot easier.
Yeah. Yes. It should not be complicated to draft the first round. And every one of these GMs and everything else, well, we got about 8 minutes left on the clock, but we're going to talk to you for another 7 minutes and make sure we take every minute off the clock. Basically, they're killing time so they can put the name on the back of the jersey and they can do all these different things. And it's like, let's tighten it up a little bit and make the first round go a little faster.
I completely agree. I think it would be, they obviously want to do it from a TV perspective to give them, you know, better TV product 2 nights in a row, but nobody wants to see this thing dragged on, just like you said. And the other thing is the teams that would be picking from 17 through 32 would have an advantage because they get an extra day to kind of regroup after the first night and, you know, start working more deals for the next day and all that different kind of stuff. So it's a big sell for me. There's no way I would want to see him split it up like that.
No, it'd be horrible. Horrible. It was bad enough trying. I was like, you know, falling asleep, and I'm like trying to keep my eye. I'm like watching it on my iPad in bed trying to stay up.
And that's the thing, because like as a fan of a team who was picking toward the end of the first round as it was, and you know, like if you're a fan of any of those teams, drafting from 20 to 32, you're just like, come on,
my gosh,
get through this,
brutal.
Keep it moving. I want to see my team pick.
And for, you know, 99% of humanity, they got to go to work the next day, and we're up past midnight.
Right. And it did. It got worse as the weekend went on. Like, I don't like Saturday toward the end of the draft. It's like, are you really taking another commercial break? It seemed like they would make like two picks and take another commercial break. Oh,
yes, they would.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so how about NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell? He said on the Pat McAfee show he'd like to get rid of another preseason game and replace it with an 18th regular season game, which would push the Super Bowl back to President's Day weekend. Buy or sell that?
That's a huge buy for me. I mean, that's a huge buy. I mean, I don't know how many people out there have like big President's Day weekend plans that this would alter, but for me, I know I don't have to work on President's Day because I work in a school, so I would have Monday off. It would be glorious. I could sleep in, watch the entire game. I mean, I get it from a player standpoint. They probably don't want to play 18 games. I get it. And it is what it is. That's an owner and a player problem they got to figure out. I would love an extra game, and I would love for the Super Bowl to be on President's Day weekend. That would solve. I mean, you and I talk about it every year about the Super Bowl being on way too late on Sunday and having to go into work the next day. And how do we fix it? Roger Goodell's listening. He fixed it. Let's do it.
I mean, if they really wanted to, they could just push the season back a week and they could get to President's Day anyway. You don't actually have to add another game. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, whether or not it's realistic is going to be for the players union and all that stuff to figure out. But it's more football. Like, why wouldn't you want more football?
Sign me up.
Like you said, anyone who works for, you know, like most schools and government, you know, agencies and everything else have President's Day off. And that's where they're like, you would actually get that 3-day weekend that everybody's talking about. Of course, again, you could actually solve that by just playing the Super Bowl on a Saturday instead of Sunday. It's not like you're forced to play it on Sunday.
You're not going up against anything else because college is over, you know, the whole deal. Like the college football national championship's already been pushed to Monday because of the NFL.
Right.
You know, so I'm wondering how that would kind of work as well, by the way. But yeah, the more times that we can have these big time events on a day before a day we don't have to go to work, the better off we are.
Yep. Just give us more football. Nobody's going to complain about it.
Nope.
I mean, most people aren't.
Nope. Not me. I will not complain about more football.
Bring it on. And he's been thinking about it. So
I think that's fantastic. And you know, this isn't a new thing that he just like came up with on that show.
By the way, I was watching a little bit of the Pat McAfee show this afternoon, and they announced last week that Belichick is going to have a Monday segment during the season. Bill Belichick on
Mr.
the McAfee
Grumpy Pants
show. Wow. Yeah. Mr. Grumpy Pants. And McAfee had Roger Goodell on his show for the first time on Friday up there at the NFL draft. And on today's show, they had Goodell and Belichick sitting down together answering, you know, kind of doing a little rapid fire type thing.
Wow.
Like they had these cards and they were going back and forth. And apparently, you know, there's sort of been an assumption that those two guys hate each other or something, but they had them sitting there at the same table on the McAfee show. I thought that was interesting.
How did he do? How did Belichick do?
He was pretty good. Okay. On Thursday night, the first round, because they were doing a draft show on Thursday, you know, there were times that it was a little bit awkward because it's Bill Belichick and he's 72 and he's hanging out with kind of a, you know, like group of stooges who are, you know, like throwing out F-bombs.
Exactly.
And everything That's else. It was on YouTube. It wasn't even on cable or anything. But, you know, and like one of the guys was doing a Mel Kiper impersonation the whole night, you know. So there were a couple times where Belichick kind of looked like, what the hell am I doing here again? But he was enjoying himself, and he told this story about how when the Patriots traded for Randy Moss, he called up Randy Moss to tell him that they had traded for him, and Randy Moss hung up on him twice during, like, because he didn't believe that it was really him. He thought it was somebody pranking him.
That's so,
like, he was telling this whole story about that, and, you know, so it was, I felt like it was, especially since it was just on YouTube and it wasn't on ESPN or any network or any of that kind of stuff. It was a nice little warm up for Belichick to kind of feel his way through it. So I think he's going to end up being better than a lot of people think. And he's going to be on the Manning cast next season on,
Every week or every
he's
time
not
going to
be,
it?
I don't think he's going to be every week, but select Manning casts he's going to be on as well. Yep.
So it's obviously part of his contract that he came up with, you know, all these different ESPN shows that he now has to be on, which is very interesting. Speaking of coaches without a job, I thought Nick Saban actually did a good job with the draft coverage. I don't know if you watched any of his stuff.
I did not watch much of that.
Okay. I thought he did a good
job. Just a little bit.
I was actually impressed with how much he knew about a lot of these players. Now, there's plenty of editors out, or, you know, copyright people that can help you. But
yeah, because apparently what they told him was, because I don't know, did he do the whole weekend or did he just do that? I think he just did like the first
couple
of nights, right? Like,
yes, he did not do Saturday.
Right.
He didn't do Saturday.
And what they told him was, you know, you really only need to know like a little bit more than 100 players or something like that. Because that same ESPN guy that I referred to, you know, with the split the night, I heard an interview that he did on the Richard Deitch sports media podcast. Gotcha. That's where that came from. And he said that they told him, you know, look, you know, it's really only a little bit more than 100 players that you need to know.
Still,
and he said
a lot of players.
Know, he still did he was asking for film and stuff like that on like 120, 130 players or something.
Well,
like that.
And here's the thing. The A crew, as it is, they only do the first two nights anyway. I mean, because, you know, you look at at least on like the ABC version, right? Or the ESPN, that Saturday crew, it looks a heck of a lot different than the Thursday and the Friday crew. You know what I mean? So the top shelf guys, they only do the first couple of rounds anyway, first three rounds, first two nights. And then it's like the other guys that are kind of working their way up the chain, you know? And so I thought that he did a good job. I mean, even if he only had to know 120 players, which is still a lot of players, by the way, I thought he did well. Now, he was able to play against a lot of those guys, obviously. So, I mean, he knew about them, and there's a lot of Alabama guys taken, you know, things like that. But at the same time, for his first foray into that kind of stuff, I thought he did well.
Yeah, I just saw a little bit. I did see the, you know, the thing where he was talking about, was it Quinyon Mitchell, the guy the Eagles took, the cornerback from Toledo?
Yeah,
Jesse and I talked about it on Friday where they
like we tried to get him into the portal.
To talk him into the portal.
Yes.
Even though he never entered the portal.
Yeah.
So basically admitting to tampering.
Uh-huh.
On life.
Well, I'm sure by we he meant like his people, which, you know.
Right.
Totally.
You're in direct contact or whatever.
You're good.
Theoretically.
Yes. I bet Nick Saban didn't like pick up the phone and call him directly.
Right.
But I'm sure it was also insinuated as
plenty of other guys who could make that call.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up with that tonight.
All right.
The draft to bed. Ryan's going to be in tomorrow, and we'll have some Notre Dame recruiting talk. Jesse will be back in rapid fire as well. We'll see what tomorrow looks like. Final day for players to enter the transfer portal.
Seriously. So
we'll see what happens with Notre Dame, where they stand after tomorrow.
And have the alerts on high, because I was expecting at least something by now. I figured we'd be talking about that too. Remember,
didn't we say on Thursday?
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, Monday, we're going to be talking about all the kids in the portal. And no, we're not.
Somebody says we missed a super chat.
I believe we actually did.
I wish there was a way to actually...
It's in the starred one. It's the yellow one.
I don't see it.
You don't have it? Oh, well, I'll throw it up.
Oh, thank you, Matt. I did miss that. He said he heard Vince likes money.
I mean, who doesn't? Come on. I don't like parting with it.
Yeah.
But
thanks for the super chat, man.
Yeah, man.
DK. DK is like our new producer. He's picking up what we miss. I know. This was starred as well,
by the way, and I don't know if you wanted to get to it, but he's asking to see an 80s pick.
I did star that up. Thanks for bringing that back. I'll have to see. I know I've got some photos around here someplace, you know, like a lot of the photos that I have once I joined the Army, the hair like stayed fairly short. It was still dark, but I'll have to see if I can find like some like high schoolish photos. Ooh. Where I actually do have a head of hair. So have to see what I can do.
I'm not busting out any 80s pictures of myself.
Yeah, I know, right? Those are the last ones.
I was a child.
I actually would like to see some of those.
I'm sure I'd come up with something.
Thanks for the reminder, Andre. Hit the like button, subscribe, and join the boards as well. There's a lot going on in the Champions Lounge. As always, Brian's got a lot of the film breakdown and all that good stuff there in the Champions Lounge that you can only get if you are a member. So find it. But hit that like button before you leave. Subscribe, rate, review, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Ivy Nation Sports Talk.